Aren't you glad you're a child of the King tonight? I'll tell you what, if you are, you've got something that money can't buy. You've got something to be thankful for that the world don't know anything about. To be able to say that I'm a child of the King, that's the greatest thing you can say tonight. I believe that with all my heart. Aren't you glad to be in church tonight? Aren't you glad the Lord's given us another opportunity to come into His courts with thanksgiving and praise? Do you love Him tonight? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King. I want you to do something tonight. I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them this: I am a child of the King. How about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're children of the King tonight? Oh, yes. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. If you don't mind to stand with me just for a few minutes, let's look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Stuart Green sends us in to pray for his nephew. He has a ruptured spleen in the intensive care unit. Pray for his healing. May God bless you as we commit that unto the Lord tonight. So we just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that request. Brother Baker wants us to remember Sister Christine in prayer. Has a bad shoulder. Also a very urgent unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto God. Brother James Stamper has got to go home. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. His feet and his legs are swollen. Brother James just needs our prayer. And if you get a chance to go by and see him or call him, I know he would certainly appreciate that. So we want to hold our brother in prayer tonight. Sister Jane Terrell wants us to pray for her sister, Betty Kaiser. The doctors have found a spot on her lung, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Martha Johnson, we'll remember her. She has bronchitis, so we'll just pray that the Lord would be mindful of her tonight. I want to pray for Sister Becky Garland from Adairsville, Georgia. She will be having, well, actually, I believe she had this heart bypass surgery yesterday on 5/11. So let's pray that the Lord would just give her a speedy recovery. Gretchen Gregory sends us in. Could you please say a prayer for me? I had a rheumatologist for arthritis. He tested my blood and it came back that told me there was something wrong with my blood. He didn't say what it was, that her red blood cell count is really high. He encouraged her to see her family doctor to find out what the problem is. So we just commit her unto the Lord tonight that God would be mindful of her. Sister Jan Hall wants us to continue to pray for her daughter, Michelle. They had to rush her to the hospital on Wednesday, hemorrhaging, and lost quite a bit of blood. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her. She's facing surgery. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that request. Sister Natalie will be leaving tomorrow for Chicago. We'll be having tests for 3 days, and surgery is scheduled for May the 17th. Please keep those folks, especially Sister Natalie, I guess maybe, of course, Brother Keith and the family, her mom and father, just pray that the Lord would just be with all of them during this time. I want to pray for Sister Shirley having stomach problems tonight. Let's pray that the Lord would touch her. Sister Lana Jones sends us in to please pray for two friends of mine. They requested that our church would remember them. Shirley is one of them, who has cancer and needs her prayers. Martha is the other one. She requested our church to pray for her grandson and granddaughter, who both are going to have surgery pretty soon for cancer also. I appreciate your prayers, so we certainly want to pray for those needs tonight. Please pray for a pastor, Tony Murray. He lives in Christ Church, New Zealand. He has recently been diagnosed with acute leukemia, so they're asking that we would remember that request tonight, that pastor in New Zealand. Well, just so many needs, so many things that we want to ask the Lord about tonight. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? We do know this, to the natural eye, there's some pretty strong, pretty scary situations that we just read to you. But to our Lord Jesus, it's another opportunity for Him to show His great healing power. We just commit all these things unto His hands. I don't know what His plan is, but I do know this. He's never had to go back and redo a decision that He ever made. Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Let's just sing that little chorus before Brother David comes to lead us to the Lord tonight in prayer. He's got it all in control. Can you rest in that promise tonight? Can you really rest in that promise that He's got it all in control? He's got it all in control. Brother David, He's got it all. Sing it for us, buddy. Let's just bow our hearts if you would. Heavenly Father, we believe that You got every one of these requests in Your control tonight, Lord. Lord, we know there's no need that's too great that, Lord, You can't answer. For You said in the Word that You'd be a present help during the time of trouble. Lord, we ask that You'd move upon these requests, Lord. Sister Natalie having to go, Lord, You see they got her scheduled for surgery. We just believe that You're a prayer answering God. Lord, You can cause that surgery not even to be. Cause them to cancel it, Lord, because You are a healer. And we claim that tonight. We believe it, Lord. With everything that's in us, we believe that You're the same tonight, Lord. Father, for the pastor over New Zealand, we ask, Lord, that You would just come upon this need, Lord. Leukemia is nothing but a name. But, Lord, we realize that every name, leukemia, cancer, diabetes, tuberculosis, every name I have to come, oh, Lord, before the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Your name is greater than any other name. We claim victory, Lord, in every heart, every life, Lord. We curse the enemy that would come, Lord, and cause us to be sick. We trust, Lord, that You move upon each one. In the remainder of this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother David, God bless you. Let's just sing that little chorus again. Ushers, if you come tonight, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. He's got it all in control. Let's sing it one more time, if you will. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. But that reassurance went out in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. Every road I walk down, Your
my life in His hand. Oh, now He's got it all in control. We believe it, Lord. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance right out in my soul. He's got it all in control. Can you sing it one more time? Well, He's got it all in control. Got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Somebody say, I believe it.
Amen.
Let's sing a song tonight. Just before we do, let me make these quick announcements. I want to welcome to the service tonight Sister Sean Chapman and also Michelle Armitage. They've been in New York for the last 2 years, but they have moved back to Happy Valley. Where would these folks be? Would you raise your hand? Right back here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad you're home. Amen. Glad you're back home. Now, they asked me over at the library to make this announcement again on behalf of the banquet that's coming up here just in a few weeks. There's just a limited number of, I guess, invitations left to that. If you want to go, please go to the library, sign that sheet. They need your money turned in just as soon as possible so they can make the proper plans for that. So remember that. Let's sing a song tonight. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. Aren't you glad you got something to lean on? Let's sing it tonight with all your heart. Oh, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on everlasting arm, oh, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Everlasting arm. Now what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Now what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, Hallelujah. Let's sing "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." The blood will never lose its power. That little chorus, "Because It Reaches." Lenya, watch key. We sing that in. C. Are you sure? Because. That's not right. C ain't right. Because it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I know graduation was today. Several of our children, I don't exactly how many, but there's some children here from our assembly that graduated today. And I just want to take this just a minute to say that there were several children from this local assembly that graduated with some very, very high honors. And I just want to say congratulations to them. Justin graduated today, and Brother Donnie and the family, just some family ties and things going on throughout the course of the day. That's why he's out here playing this guitar so pretty tonight. Brother Amos Cutts is going to be speaking for us tonight, and I just wanted you to know that. Just a lot of activities going on through the day, and well, congratulations. Let's give them all a nice hand tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to have a special tonight. Sister Cindy and Sister Anna, and I don't know exactly how, it's maybe Sister Tamik, I believe. They have a song tonight. If they'll come, get ready to sing for us, we'll just enjoy them. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Amen. Let's enjoy our special tonight.
God's side. There is of 10,000 make me a reflection of your love. Day stars shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the
How grateful we are for that. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the light of God shining in our hearts? We thank God for natural sight. I've dealt with several different blind people. My grandfather, my mother's father, was blind. Never was able to see many of his children, of his grandchildren. Yet he would feel. My hands are made a lot like his, so often when I look at my hands, I think of his hands. But I went to my grandmother's house to stay quite often, and he would always, "Donnie, get me this. Donnie, do that. Donnie, do something else. Do something else." You know, and I realized that it was an honor, really, for me to be able to do that for him. Because he was not able to see. But I hope by God's grace, I've been able to help some of you. Not only my grandfather, but help some of you. We realize God manifests His light, and it helps us to see. You can imagine your eyes just one day coming open, and what you was having to help everybody, help you do this and that and the other, and all of a sudden, you can see and think, "Oh my goodness, now I see what He's been talking about the whole time. I see it, I see it." It ain't a wonder we get so excited. Amen. Don't you appreciate His grace for that? God bless you. Brother Amos will come speak for us tonight, Lord willing. I'll be speaking again in the morning. But as Brother Louie mentioned, Justin graduated today, so we had that service, graduation service this morning, and then had a lunch for him this afternoon. If I'd have been preaching tonight, you couldn't have understood me in a way, because I'd have been an absolute basket of nerves and would have done you no good. You see, that's just me. Every man's not like me, thank God. But for me, I just have to study and study and apply myself. When I go out to preach, I don't go out and sightsee. I don't tour around the city. I just don't do that. I get by myself and stay, you know, with the Lord and pray and read and wait on the Lord. And if I don't get that time, I'm absolute a nervous wreck. So maybe I'll be okay in the morning. Maybe I'll be recovered. So Brother Amos will be coming speaking for us tonight. So let's just open our hearts to the Lord. How many comes tonight with needs in your lives? And you know the Lord is able to minister to us and speak to us the things that we have need of. Let's sing together, Brother Larry, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." We so appreciate God's grace, don't we? Not just when we got saved, but God's grace to keep us. And I need one more great manifestation of that grace, rapturing grace. Amen. Let's sing it together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Oh, sing it to him, church. Let's create an atmosphere before the Word. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Been there. Praise the Lord. I don't think we can praise God enough. Amen. He's so good. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment or two. I want to say that it's good to be in church tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He's got it all in control. Praise the Lord. And I certainly am so glad that I've turning my life over to Him. I think that each and every day I'm finding out how much that I haven't really turned over to Him. And so I'm releasing, Lord, as the understanding of the Word comes more and more, I find out that I really haven't surrendered like I thought I did. But I'm so glad for that tonight, that the revealing of the Word reveals to me my position where I need to be. And certainly I want to move closer to Him. I don't know about you, but up until the very hour, down to the very minute, I certainly want to be moving closer to Him. Amen. I certainly can't wait for the day that I'm in His arms. Amen. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to say that I'm certainly in agreement with our pastor tonight in what he said there earlier. I certainly think of our pastor as being a wonderful example. At least a wonderful example for me as a minister. Amen. To follow. And I think his advice is really good. And many times while he's preaching, you know, he probably doesn't even premeditate it, but he'll say something. And as a minister, I don't know about the rest of you, but I pick up on those things. And I tuck them away in my heart and I'll remember that. That's a good point. Amen. Amen. So we always try to keep our hearts and ears open to the Spirit of God and what He would say. I do want to say this, that as I've already mentioned last weekend or the weekend before, that the saints in South Africa greet you and they love you and they certainly feel like they're a part of you. And I believe that we would feel the same way about them. And God has blessed them. They are pastors. They have ministry there. They have brethren that love the Lord, that love this message, and they're going on with God. And when I went over there with an open attitude. I didn't go over there as an American with the answer to everything. I went there to learn myself. I went there to be a blessing and an encouragement to the people, but at the same token, maybe picking up some things from them that I could grow and mature by. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I certainly, when I was in there a little while ago, I was thinking, and even before I left on the trip to go to South Africa, the thought had crossed my mind. I said, Lord, and I said to my wife coming down the road, you know, I feel like many times in my life that I'm one of those that just was given one talent. But I want to say this about that one talent. If God gave you a talent or even a half of a talent, there's one thing about it. I will invest it into the kingdom of God. I will not be the one that buried in his talent in the ground. But if I'm a single string guitar, which there isn't any such thing, but if you would just be a single string guitar, I would want God to play every fret, if that's what you call them, on that guitar, on the neck of that guitar, and make whatever noise or music, if I could, out of that one string. Amen. Amen. I certainly believe that. That whatever God has given us, that we should put our whole heart into it. I was thinking in there how that, you know, when we were over there, I felt, you know, that the Lord was equipping me in the months before we were to go. And actually, I'd had an invitation to go there back last September. And then it fell through because there was a change in schedule. But I kept the time open at work. And I just toying it around. I didn't know how things were going to work out. Didn't even realize Brother Allray was going to send me an email and say, Brother, they need someone to come and minister over here during Easter. And so, you know, I felt so not necessarily unqualified, but I felt so inadequate. You know, and I thought, Lord, you know, there's many others that got many more talents than I've got. But you know, the Lord said, no, you're the one that needs to go. I'm calling you to go. So what could I say? So, you know, we went over there and I felt, of course, you know, I guess we all feel that way as ministers many times, Brother David, like a big reservoir. And you know, there's a big river pouring into us and you know, there's times and places and seasons for things. And so we're reserving and we're reserving. So while we were there, we just gave our whole heart. Amen. And we gave our whole heart and strength to the people and the Word. and encouragement in whatever way that we could. Amen. And so sometimes we look at our inadequacies, but really we may feel inadequate, but to God we are very valuable. We're certainly His jewels. And sometimes we devalue ourselves. I've been guilty of that many times. I don't know about the rest of you. But I devalue myself. And really, it's the enemy. It's a spirit of unbelief. Of course, we want to remain humble in who we are and in our calling and so forth. But we certainly gave our whole heart. And when the time was come to release, we just released and let the turbines begin to turn and to generate the power in the people. We didn't just release it all at one time either. But we released it as the Spirit of God said, release. And we released. And we appreciate everyone's prayers. So at that, I just want to say we'll just stand and we'll look to the Word. I understand there's going to be a baptism tonight, so we don't want to take too much time. We've got some things to talk about if God will help us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you'll pray for me, and we'll just believe God tonight to help us. And see what He has for us. Amen. This thought tonight may be just for one person. But it was just for one person. I'd be willing to go to South Africa, Australia, or Siberia for one person. The prophet said one soul is worth 10,000 worlds. Matter of fact, it's worth more than 10,000 worlds. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. We'll read a few scriptures here from the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God, capital G-O-D, be for us, who can be against us? 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now there's one scripture that I don't want to overlook in reading from the book of Romans 8. And that's Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word tonight as we bow our heads and our hearts in prayers. Let's remember Sister Natalie. I spoke to her this morning and she said she's got to go back to Illinois for examinations and so forth, and possibly surgery, I believe it is, next Thursday, and many other things. So let's remember her and her mother in prayer as they travel there as well. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, tonight that You're with us. Lord, we're so grateful that we're so in such a place that we are. And dear God, we're on a journey. And Lord, by the grace of God, that You have begun a good work in us, You will certainly complete it. God, tonight, as we've read this word, we just pray that You would bless the people, Lord, with the thoughts as they may come. Lord, help us to communicate it. Help us to say things that would be uplifting to the people, that would encourage them. Lord, we would dare not even want to mislead anyone. So keep us from saying things, Lord, that would not be expedient, Lord, that would not be appropriate for Your children. But help us, dear God, to convey the thoughts, not my thoughts, but Your thoughts, Lord. And we thank You that we have the mind of Christ with us. So we ask Your blessing upon Sister Natalie and her mother, Lord, as they travel to Illinois as well, dear God. Lord, she's gone through so much, Lord, and there's others in our assembly as well. Dear God, we pray You be with them, Lord. God, may Your angels undergird them, Lord. And dear God, as she goes through these things, Lord. Lord, as she said today, and I could thoroughly understand, though I've not felt what she's felt or experienced, those things that she's experienced. But Lord, these things, it's got to come to a head. It's time for a change. Lord, the greatest change of all, Lord, that we look for is a change. A change from this old world, a change from this old body that gives us so much trouble. The rest of us that are young and strong, Lord, we don't know what even lays ahead of us if time should continue on. But dear God, by the grace of God, we'll plow through every one of them big waves that's coming our way. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. As you're seated tonight, Brother Jim come in a little while ago and he asked me, he said, Brother Amos, you got a title. Well, I was struggling with a lot of different thoughts and it just seemed like I had a lot of different things coming to me, you know, a lot of things that are fresh on my heart. But you know, I want to please God.
Amen.
That's my desire, is to please Him. You know, and I could think, well, you know, many times, sometimes as a minister, I still feel a little bit wet behind here in a lot of things. But you know, with me, I just, sometimes God is just, will test you out and you just, God give you something, you just take it before the people. And then there's other times you just don't feel, you say, now all these things are good, Lord, but dear God, what is it that you want me to communicate to them, Lord? And we don't ever want to feel like we are getting exalted with revelation. You know, Satan can even tempt us, I think, with those kinds of things and where we would try to seek some sort of personal gain or glory. Far be it from any of us wanting that. But you know, Satan has a way sometimes of slipping up on individuals and trying that. And we know how Paul said that because of the abundance of revelation and so forth, what he went through. But I want to call this tonight, if I could, and we'll probably focus more on the first part of it. And God help us to stay with our thought. And the second part, well, we'll see how far we get with that. Keeping authority, waiting on orders. I was listening to questions and answers this week, I think it was in 64, if I'm not mistaken, where the prophet was talking about he had the authority, but he was waiting on orders. And I think that's one thing that we study tonight here. Back some time ago, I took advantage of my time through the winter there on my job when I was somewhat idle and I didn't have a whole lot going on. But I read through the four Gospels. And it was just something how it stood out to me over and over. Even though I've heard these things many times and heard the tapes and I've studied it, I know it's the truth. But it really stood out to me how that Jesus himself, as the Son of God, was so surrendered to the Father's will. And how he would do nothing. And I think of the prophet referring back constantly back to the dedication that even Jesus, how he had surrendered himself to the Father's will and he was obedient to the Father's will. And many other places in Hebrews it says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Amen. So we just think of, he had authority. He had authority. And then when he was given orders, when he seen the vision, then it come to pass. But even Jesus was challenged at times, and I think you'll find that in one place, you know, that Jesus turned to him and he said, now, which one of you convinces me of sin? And the prophet refers back to it many places and several places. Who can accuse me of sin? You know, that's quite a, we can accept the fact of Jesus getting up on that stage, if you will, and not to be sacrilegious. But we can accept the fact of Jesus getting on that stage. But I ask you tonight, can you get on that stage? If you're the progeny of God, you should be able to. That's a little weak tonight. Help us, Jesus. Amen. So, well, now Jesus could get on that stage, but I trust maybe we'll read a couple of quotes to you tonight that'll help you to see that. That certainly we're to follow in his steps. We may not be the Son of God, but we're a Son of God. Amen. And we've been brought to a position, and we certainly, that's the thing that the devil hates, is the understanding of you knowing who you are and taking that place and keeping that place. I'm not talking about losing your eternal life. I'm not talking about it. Because if you were a seed of God, if you were a thought gene of God, then you can no more be lost than God could be lost. But we have an adversary. We know that that adversary is there to hinder us and to try to thwart our growth and slow us down. Like your computer, it slows down. Something's in there. Something's clogging the channel, or something that's keeping the machine from operating just exactly right. We had a loader down there at work, 924G Caterpillar. That thing was a nightmare. That thing was back to the shop. Soon after we'd had the machine, things just started going wrong. And I don't know, Brother Darrell, if it was just something that the design or flawed design or the engineers just didn't get that machine right and somehow it slipped on through. But Caterpillar had its name on it and they had to take it back. Because it was a guarantee on the machine. So after many, many hours and time and labor and study and hydraulic tests and electrical tests and all kinds of computer tests and back and forth. I mean, these things, when you're talking computers and computer in machines anymore, it's not like the old style, you know, easy, adjust the hydraulic valve and adjust your throttle and there you go. But when you get into the computer, the brain, the electronic brain that's in the machine, and it's just not doing right, it can really be one of them things, a bug that you just, it just seems to disappear when you go looking for it. But yet the results of the machine, and you know the truth behind that is, that machine, and I tell you, I'm not trying to blackball Caterpillar tonight. Caterpillar's a good machine worldwide. But you know, they never did find a problem to that thing. Now, I've often believed this, Brother Donnie, that if something was ever designed properly, things can go wrong. But if it ran good one time, it can run good again. If the right person takes a look at that thing. That's why I like doctors who upgrade themselves constantly. I don't like going to a doctor. You know, he's like Ecclesiastes says about the old king. He just feels like he's arrived and he's learned it all. He's got all the answers. I want to be like the young man that he says in that same verse. I can't quote it right off, but he said about the young child having the wisdom of a young child who is teachable, learnable. God help me. Regardless how far I go in life of my journey before the rapture, that I'll have a teachable experience and I'll be able to go on with God. Because Satan would always try to say, you reached your zenith. You reach the elevation that you need to go and you don't have to go any further. And then he puts you in your comfort zone. When I was over there in South Africa, there were some places where I guess you could say we had a comfort zone and then there was others where we didn't. But that wasn't that big of a deal, and I'm not going to say underpower it, because South Africa is certainly, some of you brothers that's traveled around, South Africa is a pretty nice country compared to others. And some of you have stayed in some pretty worse conditions than I stayed in. And actually where we stayed actually was pretty good for what they had in some of the locations. Some of the saints there that kept us, it was just like staying here in some of your houses. But then when you got out there in the Transkei and we stayed in a motel, you know, it was a different story. But you know, there's one thing about it, that God, he certainly has given us a position. He's given us a place of authority. He's given us authority. How many times did, when Jesus, as soon as he got received the Holy Ghost, the Bible said he was led into the wilderness, and the prophet said, when he was led into the wilderness, immediately the Spirit, he said, let him into the wilderness be tempted and tried by the devil. So if you think it's easy street, if you think it's lounge chair, your lazy boy recliner after you get the Holy Ghost. I got another thing coming for you. Most of us already know it. It's a battle. It's a battle. Your battles have only started. I hate to disappoint you, but you'll be battling till the day you leave here. And Satan will probe at you, and I'm not giving him any credit other than to say he is a good adversary. Be sober, be vigilant. Oh my. You know, despite the authority that we have, despite the promises that we have, we still need to be vigilant. I found that to be true when I was there in South Africa. Vigilance. Because in such an hour as you think not, your enemy approaches. Yeah, he doesn't wait. He doesn't necessarily sometimes will come to you in church, sure. But he'll hit you at a time when things is just seemingly going pretty good. He'll pop something on you. That's why we need to stay close to the intelligence. Now, keeping authority. In Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of your redemption. Now, Paul, and we know from our understanding of the word that we know that you can grieve the Spirit of God. The prophet in one place, and if we can have the time to get to it, we'll get to it. If not, okay. But he talked about how his own life and the situations that he encountered and how Satan, really it was Satan, tried to trip him up. And at the end of that sermon, I believe it was here in Cleveland, Tennessee, he said, Lord, help those who are flesh walkers. Oh my. I'm preaching to myself tonight. This applies to me too. How that many times we realize we're operating in a flesh body. And we know that this inner man is to subject, we're to bring this outer man into subjection. The king of our heart rules over this outer man. So that's where Satan. And his idea is to stop the flow of God in our lives, simply put. And I don't know, many times, like Mama, she always knew when the boy's hand had been in the cookie jar. Just by the way he looked, or she looked. That sheepish grin. Why? There was a fall had took place. There was a disobedience, and what did it do? It broke the communication, that forwardness, that boldness of the Spirit of God. And how Satan would love to come in on our lives and try to rob us. So he thinks, and I'll say temporarily. Temporarily. One thing we're guaranteed to get back on track. But let me tell you something. As we read in the Word of God, the prophet said one day to a king, obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't know what happened to those cows or those other animals that was out there. I know that King Agag was chopped to pieces. But I do know this. That Saul sacrificed the presence of God and gave himself to a tormenting spirit as a result of his disobedience and a loss of his position. A loss of authority. And even David, when he was in the cave, could have taken Saul's life. But he respected that office. And he respected his king. Even when he was wrong. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. but after the Spirit. I've been challenged many times in my life. You know, Satan, when the prophet stood there before that maniac, you know, I read it over and over, and I heard different brothers, our pastor, and different ones speak about it. That devil that was in that man, or those devils, tried to bring that prophet down to their level. Let me ask you this. If somebody spit in your face and called you a liar, called you a snake in the grass, what would happen? He won't. A lot of times Satan won't hit us with that. When we come out of church, we feel like we could just flip the whole world over. He'll hit you Monday morning, or Tuesday evening, Thursday night. In such an hour as you think not, your enemy approaches. So I don't want to be caught off guard, and I don't know why I'm going this way, and I struggle with this today and yesterday and so forth. But the enemy, in seeking to pull us down and to pull us away from our position. Now, Romans 8:1, the word condemnation, I looked this up in the Greek lexicon. I'd like to read to you the definition, if I could. It's a Greek word called pipto, if I'm pronouncing it right. And this is some of the definitions of the word condemnation as it's used in Romans 8:1. It says to descend from a higher place, to descend from an erect to a prostrate position, to fall down, to be prostrated, fall prostrated of those overcome by terror or astonishment or grief or under the attack of an evil spirit. Another definition is to be cast down from a state of prosperity, to fall from a state of uprightness, to perish, come to an end, disappear, cease of virtues, to lose authority. Amen. To lose authority. No longer have force, sayings, precepts, etc. To lose authority. You know, wouldn't it be something, some of our brothers here that wear the badge, and they have a code of honor, that they're loyal to the law, they're loyal to our course, they're loyal to the law of the land. They're a good citizen. They themselves have to walk the chalk line. But isn't it something that we hear about many of the things that go on sometimes, and traveling to some of these countries and seeing some of the things that we hear and things going on? The corruption of the law and those who enforce the law. But you got a guy driving around in an SUV, official government vehicle, with a badge, with a number, and so forth. But he doesn't have that authority any longer. Many times, and some of you brothers that are policemen know this, that compromise has become a great temptation to many. And many times, there's financial gain involved. In almost every case, and some of you that have gone to Mexico, it's just gone wild. It's completely on next thing to, without the Holy Ghost being in the earth, that place, all places will be bad after the rapture. But it's almost to the point of you wonder how things can even function. So we realize that the loss of authority, because somebody says, well, I could use that extra money. If they tell them, well, if you just turn your head the other way, nobody will know the difference. But over the course of time, they compromise, and so they got by with it that time. But if there's ever trouble in that neighborhood, they can't go in there. They got to watch what they do. Because they bound themselves to a compromise, to a bribe. And they took a bribe, and they know that it's known. And should they decide to go back on it, their family might end up dead, or they might have it blown to the newspapers. I wonder today in our country, the way we see things going, and people sometimes, they take people that are serious about running for public office, they really look at it closely. Because if you've got anything in your past that is of questionable decision, a consequence for a decision that you made and you suffer that, they know. And if you don't know it by now, us lay folks, they know it'll be brought to light. What does it do? It takes the wind out of their sails. Amen. It's exposed. And the media, like a bunch of feeding frenzied sharks, digging and digging and digging. And trust me, they'll dig. The world's best detectives, the news media, Brother Gene. So if you got something that you feel you're compromising on, you're going to sweep it under the rug, and the devil tells you, it's okay. We all have trouble in the flesh. Just remember, at the appropriate time, he'll pull the rug on you, and he'll expose it. And then when the prophet went down there to pray for the little child, something come up before him. Something happened. And then he actually went at it the second time and made a second attempt to pray for the little child. And that's when the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, you're going to lay those lying hands on that baby and pray for that baby. Oh. Did I hear a rooster crow somewhere? There's a man that's got the Holy Ghost. But I'm so glad there's a convictor on board. I'm so glad I can be anointed. We can be anointed as Messiahs, and we have the ability to raise ourselves back up. For as the Bible says, a righteous man falleth 7 times. We don't fall willfully, but we get back up again. And should we begin to develop a tendency to drift off into error, then he's there to correct us and bring us back. You ought to thank God that when the word is preached, or you listen to a tape, you read your Bible, you go in your prayer closet, and that thing comes up in front of you, that you spoke out a turn to someone and the Spirit of God speaks to you. You ought to thank God. Because your sins have already gone before you to judgment, and they continue to do so. Amen. I'm taking care of that business now. We have the ability to come back. Some don't. And some said, well, you know, it's just kind of like you're shooting for years and years and years. And you're constantly, persistently missing that target. I don't know, I'm not a shooter. But you're constantly shooting off the target. But because, well, nobody seems to notice. Nobody's far enough in the Word. And the reason they're not far enough in the Word is because you're shooting off target. And a lot of times it blinds people. After a while, there's a real seed there. They begin to notice what's going on. But you get so far up the road, you become... You got so much behind you. You got so many miles behind you. And then you discover when you're almost at the end of your journey, you've been wrong. And that's where so many will make a fatal mistake. And because of pride and prestige, they can't go back. They won't humble themselves. Say, I've been wrong. Forgive me. Oh, my Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, my. I want a corrective spirit, a corrective heart. If you're... Furthermore, you know, it all boils down to this. As I was in there a little while ago, it simply come to me. Why would I want to hurt him? Why would I seek to displease the Lord? Because if I just have this don't care attitude, it really shows I'm never, you know, if it's one of them things that maybe I've never had a word birth. Because if you really had a word birth, then your sensitivity is to please your spiritual husband, Christ. You'll not want to displease him in any way. You've got that attitude. You're not a gambler. You're not a chance taker. Like I tell everybody, we take enough of chances, so as it is. So when they said it would be highly advisable for you to take some shots before you go over there, I thought, well, it'll be one less thing to worry about. I'll have plenty of battles when I get there. I don't need to worry about hepatitis A or whooping cough or whatever else, malaria. I'll just go ahead and take them. The prophet said, well, he took them too. I didn't have to, but I took them anyway. Praise the Lord. I learned a long time ago, don't throw caution to the wind. I wound up too many times sorry on that deal. Now, I think with our time just kind of moving down like it is, I get carried away. We'll read a few quotes. And I want you to listen to this. The prophet says, as they're getting ready to take communion in 63, July 7th, he says, but we hear these things, then we know we're chastened of the Lord, that we don't do them, then we're condemned. And if we have no condemnation within us, that we're living above that thing, by the grace of God, then we're not condemned to the world, but we're living above the things of the world. It says in paragraph 9, he says, listen to what he says. This is Malachi 4, the Elijah prophet. He says, so therefore, it might be something that we've done, and he's praying. It might be something that we've done, you've done, something I've done. It might not be consciously. Right now, let's ask God to forgive us for that. We used to sing a song here, forgive the sins I've confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins, you see, that they don't even know nothing about. An unknown sin, when we pray God forgive them. And reading down in that paragraph a little bit further, he says, I go take the body of Christ, feeling in my heart that you forgive me for all my sin. I pray then for your secret sin. You pray for mine. That maybe something we don't know about, that we won't come together condemned with the world. Paragraph 10. We want to keep ourselves clean from selfishness. Keep our thing, our sin, our lives clean from all the things of the world, that we be not spotted with that. We want to be ready for the rapture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we realize that over here in this message, we might just change the thought there just momentarily. In blasphemous names, in paragraph 24:8, the prophet's speaking about Christ and the adoption, the tutor, and all of that. He says, but how that tutor would love to come and say, oh my, that's his son, that son, a real son. He's just like the father. Oh, how he'd love to say that, see. Then the father swells out in pride and said, this is my son. That's exactly what God did on Mount Transfiguration. And just skip a little bit there to the bottom of the paragraph. While he was yet speaking, God shut him up. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. If there's anything that I won't say about myself or any one of us, God would say something like that about us. Not that we have a desire to be heard, but that our life would resonate with his life. We are so much flesh of his flesh that he could hand as a mature father to a mature son. He could hand him a 30-06. And know when he goes out in the woods, he can be trusted with it. Because he's come to such a place of maturity.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right.
You know, my dad didn't hand me a 270. I love that little 270. He had a 270 carbine. Real short gun and a brush gun. That type of... I'm not a big hunter, but as much as some of you are. But, you know, going out there in the woods and the mountain laurels and rhododendrons... My goodness, rocks and trees and the logs, and you need something that when they get to run and they jump up, you can whip it on out. Lightweight.
Amen. Right.
Yeah, a weapon like that feels good in my hands. You know, you get a long gun and it's like the long sword, like the long Roman sword. Hey, I like a little short sword. Quick movement. So you whip it around, but he didn't give me that 270. When I was just a boy, 8 years old, he took me out there. My dad, he was in World War II, and he never lost his marksmanship up until the last few years, 10 years before he passed. He was an excellent shooter. For the amount of time that he wasn't out there target practicing. But he had a keen eye, despite the fact that his vision was going down over the years. He had to wear glasses like I am now. But even up in his years there on the farm, I would see him drop a deer. And this is no exaggeration. I'm going to guess maybe 300 yards or 400 yards up on another hillside with a scope. And he'd drop a deer, and a running deer cranked, going somewhere because it'd been chased out of some patch of woods somewhere and it's running across the field. And seen him drop the deer. As a matter of fact, drop two of them. Old Pump Remington. But he never handed me that gun until I was old enough and was responsible. Because he didn't want to see me fall into condemnation. Of the worst kind, probably. I don't even have that marksmanship he had. But you trust when God places us, he positions us. He said, then God put himself, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then his name is good on the check. He's not going to be firing people that don't need to be fired or advancing people that don't need to be advanced. The Father could trust him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, power of his power. Why? Because the full maturity that was in the first son is coming into you and I. We will come to full maturity. And I even dare to say there may be some here tonight who've already reached full maturity. Yes. Might be a big statement to say, and I can say probably I'm not there yet myself. But I wouldn't stand in somebody's way or getting there. Here, he says, see, God put himself in the background. God at his back.
Amen.
Talking about walking in the Spirit, the prophet said, in a message of trying to do God a service in 65, paragraph 15, he's talking about Blair and the boy, you know, he got electrocuted out there. Some of you brothers know what I'm talking about. Listen to what the prophet said. This really stood out to me here some time back when I seen it. He said, God bless those faithful men in a time of emergency. That's the time to look to God. Yeah. Listen to what else he says. And look to him and be on friendship. with him before the emergency arrives. You see what prayer and Bible reading every day, you're staying in touch, and not just a routine thing, but every chance you get. Sometimes I have to sacrifice this whole flesh and get legalistic with my flesh and make my flesh. I get tired like you all do too. I work. I do work. You know what one of my greatest enemies, and I'll just expose a weakness so you'll pray for me. One of my biggest weaknesses in my life, and Satan already knows it, is not getting enough of body rest. Well, now you know how to pray for Brother Amos. Because I found that Brother Branham said, when you're weary, boy, Satan plays that one to the hilt. He'll, if that's your weakness, he'll cause you to throw caution to the wind. Just because you got an energy boost in the evening, you'll go out there and you'll work and work and work, and the next day you're flat as a pancake. You force yourself. You're going in there getting another cup of coffee to keep your boat afloat. And daylight saving time was one of the worst things. You work a 4-10-hour day, and then Monday, and you're working Monday, catching up in the evenings, you know, and you're catching up, trying to catch up money. It rains all day, and you have jobs outside to do. You get under pressure. You know what the devil's trying to do? Say, you got to get caught up. First of all, don't bite off more than you can chew. I'm learning the hard way. I bit off more than I can chew, and it's really hard getting caught up. But there's one thing I don't want to miss out on. I don't want to miss out on God. I don't care if the house is needing another coat of paint. I don't care if this is going on. The car, hey, if I can get the oil changed and I can't get past that, if I can put a new belt on it and I can get past that, I'm not going to worry about all the extras. Because there's one thing I will not do. I will not sacrifice my love to obey God. Not just necessarily that I have to obey Him, but I will not allow my faith to depreciate by my feeling of my flesh. I've got to get things caught up and put that on one level higher than my relationship with Christ. Does that mean I'll lose? No. But we can cause ourselves a lot of problems. All right. Be on friendship with before him, before the emergency arrives. Brother Bram said, thinking on our way, Cleveland, Tennessee, 59. I know no other cleansing. I know no other way. Nothing else that I know to do, only to confess your sins, be right with God. Clean up little bitty things. It's the little fox that spoils the vine. You know, I was one of them guys. Well, I got a pickup truck and I've had it for a number of years. It's still going good. Don't look very nice maybe to some of you, but it serves its purpose. But I was used to be hauling scrap like some of you, and I think I'll throw some more on there. Just like my luggage going to South Africa. I had to keep weighing it so I don't go overboard and overweight. And I have to pay an extra fee on it. But it's them little bitty things you just add. And then your credit card gets maxed out. Because you've been adding little by little by little by little by little by little. And you overspend yourself and you go beyond your means. God help us in areas like that too. And so as he says, in closing, I'm going to have to wrap this up. It was during a time when the IRS was after him. About the money, the tax deal and the offerings. And you know what happened? Under the stress, and you know, Bible says Elijah is a man was subject to like passions such as we. I mean, he had tensions too. And so the prophet, you know, he gets on this, oh no, they're calling again. And I'm going to be outside, Sister Mita. I'll be outside. And he runs back around the back of the house. Just tell him I'm outside. I'm out back there because I'm going to be back there. The long and short of it was this. It didn't bother him too much because Brother Sister Mita said, "Oh, Bill, you're always trying to justify yourself." When I was growing up, I heard that word a lot. Why, he's just trying to justify himself. Two wrongs don't make a right. So anyway, he just like the rest of us, he just let it go. And he goes out there and he's been authority. He's got the authority. And he goes to pray for that little baby. And boom, it come back in his face. Uh-oh. Something was clogging the channel. And Brother Branham told that woman that was so nervous, remember that time? She was so nervous that he even prayed for her on the street. She come up to him. He prayed for her. Brother Branham prayed for people even if he didn't have a vision. That's right. He says that. He prayed for the woman. But the problem wasn't solved. So the long and short of it was this. But the prophet said, God will not bless over sin. He's seen the vision. There was an adultery committed years and years and years ago. You know the story. And a devil come. He's an advantage taker. I can't think of that word that we use sometimes. That the devil, he's an opportunist. I seen a little girl over there in Africa in a hospital, 24 years old, the mind of a 4-year-old. And then on top of that, it was quite observable. She got a devil. You talk, if we could only see how mean as a snake the devil is. We know these things is going on right here. You know that. You know probably cases you could tell me. Satan's an opportunist. And then the prophet, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "You're going to lay your lying hands on her." He said, "That was it." He said, "I got to go make things right." And he did. And he did. And then, after he made things right, he come back, no doubt, and prayed for the baby. And then the woman, once she confessed and she obeyed, and then she sacrificed, she obeyed. She was willing to sacrifice, put it that way. And she went back and she made things right. Then the prophet said that when he prayed for her, that spirit took its flight. And in fast order. That's the authority of a son of God. We can get them things out the way. Like I said, this may be just for one person. And I'll ask you to stand at this time in closing. I won't get to all that we have up here, but that's, I kind of expect that. The prophet told one more story. I come across this back some time ago where he was up in Canada, in Calgary, at a meeting. And I'll just read to you what he said. Many times in dealing with spiritual things, you see them when they move out. Someone was just asking me not long ago, I was at Calgary, Canada, and a boy come in. They had him in a straitjacket. And they come in the back of the room, and he was cursing and carrying on. And I never heard such in my life. And the father was trying to hold him, and when he got on the inside, he looked over to me and said, "William Branham, you ain't got nothing to do with me." Oh, that father looked up and said, "He don't even know his own name. How do he know you, your name?" I was standing off a great distance from him. Oh, how he was cursing me and carrying on. And he said, "You ain't got nothing doing with me." And I asked the audience if they'd be reverent. The ushers come to take him out. Just seen the Holy Spirit move. The angel of the Lord said, "Now bring him here just a minute." When they went to bring him, he started kicking and frothing and biting. He was in a straitjacket. They brought him up close to. And then the vision come and told just what it was. A sin had been committed by his father that caused the child to be in that condition. The father fell down and repented. And the prophet said, when that evil spirit went from that boy thousands times, thousands of people in the Stampede Grounds there that night looked like a great big spider and a black shadow floating around. Oh my, it was really quiet. Went around the place and out through the building and it went away. The Brother Branham says in this message, New Ministry, 59. And I said, what are you asking me for? He was talking about somebody asking him about, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to smoke tobacco? And I said, what are you asking me for? If there's a question in your mind, leave it alone.
Amen.
So where did that question come from? Especially when it's something that's borderline gray. I respect my pastor for not preaching his convictions, but I know he's got them. And I got them too. And every son and daughter of God that's got the Holy Ghost will have convictions. He says, you can't have faith unless you're perfectly sure that you're right. When all shadows is drifted away, then you can have faith and confidence. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence. I could not, if you have faith and confidence, I could not walk out there and preach that scripture not knowing what I was talking about, but I knew it was of the Lord. I wonder if we wouldn't have some cobwebs or shadows in our lives. And Brother Branham said he described that cloud, and I'm not trying to make something out of that. But he said in the middle of that dark cloud was a devil. Why was he in a dark cloud? Because he likes to hide. What do you think? Sometimes we hear the anointed word coming forth and it pulls things from undercover.
Right.
Oh, I'm so glad for that.
Amen.
Scorch, burn, ouch, oh me, oh my. I'm glad to be corrected.
Amen.
It's not sadistic to think, my goodness, you come to church sometimes to get a whipping. But you know, Brother David, it's like I told an unbeliever sinner woman at work the other day. She was doing some community service. And I said, lady, I want you to know one thing. She was a worldly woman. She didn't go to church. There's one thing that you remember. I witnessed her a little bit. I said, there's one thing that I want you to remember that I tell you. That God Almighty always has your best interest in mind. I'm satisfied with that. My best interest. Oh, yes. That's why we can sing the song, trust and obey. For there's no other way. I'm happy with the outcomes of the decisions that I felt God wanted me to make. And here's some time ago I made some decisions. Some of you might know about some of them because I told you. And brother, it might have hurt my flesh for a little while, but my soul was clear. Now, I was not committing secret sin. I mean, out here looking at filthy magazines or watching porn on the internet. You know, it's those things. God doesn't ever want us to idolize something, become attached to something that you can't let go. Maybe perfectly something harmless, like riding your four-wheeler. And you just ride, shoot, shoot, shoot. And you develop a fetish or something to that thing. And then what happens? It takes away from your spiritual. We all got to watch those things. Amen. Let's sing that song if you can find it. Do we all know it here? Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Just the chorus. Brother Larry, where's my wife? Hello. Sweetie. We'll try it. Let's see, I think we got it here. The chorus, I'm not a singer. You'll forgive me, my frog voice. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Pretty simple song, pretty simple thought. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Let's take it down a key. Trust and obey. for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I want you to listen to verse 2 as I not sing it, but read it to you. You just page it on down for me, verse 2. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies. Think about what we just talked about. But his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Let's sing it once more. Some of you know it. Help me out. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Oh, trust and to trust and obey. Amen. How many appreciate the word?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Brother David, if you'll come. Brother David's daughter's going to be baptized tonight. If she'll come. His wife, I think, will come and get her ready for that. Praise the Lord. You know, no matter how much authority that God's given to his people, if Satan cannot stop you from receiving the authority, if he can stop from the administration of that authority being delivered and carried out, he accomplishes the same feat. But when the word of God is flowing through our heart, and each of us are walking exactly in what the Lord's made us to be, some cast out devils, some heal the sick, some preach, some do this, that, the other. But each of us following exactly what the Lord wants us to do. What's the bottom line of it all, friends? That we please Him. Not that you please you. Don't try to please me. We don't try to please one another. But to try to please the Lord Jesus. Imagine that the four Gospels, whenever Jesus is going to be baptized, they all record it. You ever see how many things the four Gospels record all in a parallel there? John will say this over here, Matthew will say that. When you go to looking at God saying about Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You think of God being so pleased. The first Adam, he was pleased with them. The fall came, he lost that pleasing value. But here God's restored a second Adam. What does he say about him? I'm pleased in him. What's he going to do? He's beginning a new creation. So God won't just be pleased with one, but God can be pleased with every individual that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine that we can walk a walk that Almighty God looks at you and says, I am pleased with you. No condemnation. No condemnation. That He's pleased with your motives, your objectives, your spirit, your attitude. That don't mean now you're going to be perfectly humanly. You'll wobble, but don't worry, you'll get straightened back up. Because you're one of His. You believe that? You'll get straightened right back up. And then Father can look at you and say, and this is my daughter, my son, in whom I am well pleased. Then you have authority. You have authority. You don't just cast out devils and all that because of a gift. But God's given you authority. Authority for what? To live the right kind of life. To obey His word. To do what He wants you to do. So it's no longer just words. Well, Brother Bram said, Paul said, Peter said. But you have authority to live that word. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just worship Him now just a little bit while they're preparing for this baptism. Oh, how we ought to appreciate Him. Amen. Let's just close our eyes if you would. Brother Larry, just pick it up again. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Now part of the grave set caught my falling soul. He looked beyond. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's sing it together. I shall forever my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for you and me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, once again. Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died.
Certainly thankful for this opportunity to be able to bring my little girl to this pool baptism. You know, when you have children, you can't beg them to come to God, and you can't make them come to God. God has to do the pulling, and their heart has to do the answering. I'm so proud today to be able to bring little Hadessa here to the water. She came to me the other day. She said, "Daddy, I've repented. The Bible says you got to be baptized." So we want to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let's just bow our hearts. Lord, you've given this little girl into our home, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, that we're able to come here to this pool this day, Lord. Lord, to honor your word. No doubt you have moved upon her heart, Lord. I remember even as she was just a baby in the car, she would always sing songs and even lift her hand going down the road. Always had a heart that was tender towards you. And now we're thankful, Lord, of this part of her life, Lord, that she wants to come. And you promised in your word, Lord, that she would repent and be baptized. You promised that you'd meet her at the top of the water with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask that today, may you fill her full of the Holy Ghost. We do not believe that our young people has to go out into the world and, Lord, go through all kinds of things and trials and tests. They'll be tested up once they receive the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, may your word, Lord, become real to her. Keep her, Lord, the days that's ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. Hadessa, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, pray. Everybody now. He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. Almighty to deliver, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and the full salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord. Inscribed in the book of heaven, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace. All sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Everybody, oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, born in sweet communion. Grace has brought in my lowly station, since my soul has received. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. How many can sing it? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take your hands and just wave it around to Him. Oh, tell Him He's wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. You're wonderful to us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful. We love You, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us, Lord. Thank You, Father. Oh, hallelujah. How we love You. How we appreciate Your kindness and Your mercy to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't you appreciate His grace? Do you appreciate what He's done for you? Do you appreciate what He's done for others? Let me give an epitome of the way the kind of spirit this message was brought to us in.
I've been looking at Enoch this week. Brother Brandon mentions the term, the name Enoch, 187 times in the message. I found it over and over again where he says these words, very, very similar. If I do not have enough faith like Enoch did to walk out of this world one day, I would never stand in the way of the man who can. Now, what a way to look at it. Instead of Brother Branham saying, if anybody's going to do it, I'm going to do it. And if I can't do it, nobody else can. But instead of having that attitude, his attitude was, if I can't do it, I'd never stand in the way of someone who can. May God help us. Can you say that? Without regrets, without grudge, without hard feeling. Can you? Can you allow somebody to be more of God, have more of God, be closer to God, and you not be jealous? Come on. Look, friend, you're not ready. You're not ready for more of God yourself unless you can see God give someone else more. Right? You wonder why some preachers can never go on any farther than be used of God? Because they can't stand it when they see another preacher used greater than them. And they'll never go any farther because God can't trust them. Same with a songwriter, a singer, a musician, or just a layperson, whatever we are. It shouldn't just be, oh, it's got to come my way first. No, let God give it to whoever He wants to. And when you can smile and say, praise the Lord, God bless Brother Jerry tonight. I was so happy to see it. You're getting ready for yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Then, my friends, there's no condemnation. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for once again taking your words, your principles, your truths, and speaking to our hearts. For truly, Father, we desire that we can please you in everything we do. We don't want to just do it two or three times a week. We want to please you every day that we live. We don't want to go anywhere you wouldn't go. Say anything you wouldn't say. We wouldn't want to have an attitude that you wouldn't have. We want to love those things you love. Hate those things you hate. We want to be identified with the people that you would be identified with if you were here today. Basically, we want to be like you. We want to be in such close communion and friendship that you wouldn't be ashamed to be identified with us. That you could, as it were, put your arm around our neck and, as we say it around here, call us buddy. Lord Jesus, may we take it serious tonight, Father, to realize we are a privileged people. To have this intimate relationship offered to us, that the Almighty God Himself would want to have communion with us on this basis. Then in turn, after we become prisoners, then Lord God, you give us authority. After Moses became a prisoner and lost his authority as far as in Egypt, then he was given such authority that God could create through his mouth. But he couldn't take Egyptian authority and divine authority and mix it together. He had to become a prisoner first. He had to lose all Egyptian prestige, all Egyptian authority before he could get divine authority. Are we willing to do it? Help us to do so, Lord. That we can lose all of our esteem, all of our prestige, whatever we have to give up to be given authority with you. Brother Branham said about Joseph and Christ the mystery of God revealed that Joseph no doubt thought about it many days down in the prison when his beard growed out. He remembered those visions that he had, those dreams, and he wondered how long would it be. But he said he'd become a prisoner. And when he did, he was called out of that prison and his king gave him authority. Lord Jesus, it's overwhelming as I was reading it this week where you told us, the servants that
fulfill their commission and serve your people faithfully. That when you come back as a householder who returns from the wedding, you will gird yourself and serve them. Lord God, help us to have lives that are worthy of such a position. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to our hearts tonight. We ask that you'd meet with us again in the morning, Lord, as we attempt to try to look at rapturing faith again. May you speak to us your great principles of your word. Grant it, I pray, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. You love him, children. Jesus, I was reading it again today, where Jesus said, if you'll be faithful and serve him, them servants, those householders who serve and give out the food, he said, when the Son of Man returns, he will gird himself and serve you. It's almost overwhelming to think that he would make us partakers of such a place, that he would come and humble himself to such a position. Only he could do such. Enjoyed being in church tonight?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Oh, God bless you, saints. Love you so much. Let's gather in the morning, the Lord willing, expecting him to just once again speak to our hearts, give us those things that we have need of. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. The bride's been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you as you go. We've been made